This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by OTC.watch, where investors go to find big data on small companies. That's OTC.watch. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
Welcome to the Stock Day Media Podcast. I'm your host, Everett Copley, filling in for Everett Jolly. On today's show, I'm bringing back a returning guest. They were on the show back in February. I'm talking about no other than Acasti Pharma, Inc. They trade on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol ACST and on the Toronto Venture Stock Exchange under the ticker symbol ACST. Now, with us today is Ms. Jan Dalviz. She is the CEO and president of the company. Jan, it's great to meet you, and welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Sever. It's great to be here.
Now, Acasti Pharma is a late-stage specialty pharmaceutical company specializing in drug deliveries and technologies addressing rare and orphan diseases. They currently have three drugs in development stages: GTX-104, GTX-102, and GTX-101. Now, Jan, let's talk about your lead drug candidate, GTX-104. For our listeners, it's meant to treat subarachnoid hemorrhage, a rare and life-threatening emergency. I understand that you recently reported some positive clinical trial results for GTX-104. Can you tell me more about that, and what are the next steps for that program?
Sure, Sever. Thanks for the question. And maybe what I can do is start with a little bit of background. I just want to remind your listeners that our GTX-104 is an IV formulation of nimodipine. What we did was apply our novel drug delivery technologies that you mentioned earlier, and we're applying it to a drug that historically has been very difficult to solubilize. In other words, it's only available as an oral capsule. And it's a very potent drug. It's used for lowering blood pressure in patients that have subarachnoid hemorrhage. And again, maybe as a little bit of background, subarachnoid hemorrhage, or SAH, is actually caused by a burst aneurysm in the brain. And what happens is you get bleeding over the surface of the brain. And as you mentioned, this is a very life-threatening condition. In fact,
right,
10 to 15% of the patients tend to die before they even get to the hospital.
Wow.
Yeah, and another 15% of those die either during their hospital visit or after release from the hospital. Fully another third require dependent care for the rest of their lives. So what we're doing, as I said, we're taking this drug, nimodipine, that's a potent calcium channel blocker or blood pressure lowering drug, and we're applying it to or reformulating it into this IV. And by doing that, we believe that we're going to be able to improve the standard of care. The oral is very difficult to administer to patients in the intensive care unit, and these patients tend to stay in the ICU for up to 4 weeks, and they need to be on this drug the whole time. And because it's delivered orally, it's absorbed through the stomach, and you get very poor absorption and tremendous variability. So our IV form is, more consistent. So it's delivered directly into the bloodstream. You know how much drug is being delivered. And it really allows the physicians to better control blood pressure. And this is important because you want to avoid hypotensive events in these patients, which can send them back in for additional surgery or procedures that can be life-threatening. So again, we feel that this is really important. And by the way, I should mention that there's about 50,000 people each year in the United States that suffer from a subarachnoid hemorrhage caused by a burst aneurysm. So, that's a lot of people, and the market potential, is in the range of about $300 million or so. But
wow.
You know what, let me answer your question, which is, you know, we just reported out results here in, about a month ago for a very important PK study. And, the objective of that study was to evaluate and compare the bioavailability or the ability of the drug to be absorbed compared to the oral form that's currently on the market. And a secondary objective was to compare the safety and the tolerability of the two, because we really believe if you can provide a drug in a more consistent manner, that you should be able to improve safety. Because what we're trying to do is avoid those hypotensive events that are common in these patients today. I'm very pleased to report that we had terrific results. The results showed no statistical difference between our GTX-104 and the oral nimodipine in terms of maximum and total exposure over 3 days. So what that means is we were able to mimic the blood levels that you see with the oral. And we saw no serious adverse events. Adverse events that we saw were very treatable, typically headaches, for example. So based on these results, we're now going to be able to proceed very rapidly with our phase 3 study in patients with subarachnoid hemorrhage. And if I could mention too, Sever, I mean, probably one of the most important things we saw in this study is a significantly less variability in blood levels compared to the oral. And again, this is really important because the more variability you have, the less you can control blood pressure. And really, the physicians want to manage blood pressure very, very carefully. In fact, we saw about half of the variability that you typically see with the oral version of the drug.
Wow.
So we really believe that this is going to lead to better safety. It's going to lead to better control of blood pressure. That means, you know, fewer incidences of hypotension. And the worst case is vasospasm, and that's where blood pressure gets so low that the vessels in the brain actually collapse. And, you know, the whole idea here is you want to open up those blood vessels to get lots of blood flow and oxygen into the brain to promote healing. So,
Right. Yeah, so
we think, you know, with this more flexible, more consistent, and convenient way of delivering nimodipine to these patients who are critically ill in an intensive care unit, that we hope to see that, you know, we'll get better outcomes, better results.
That sounds amazing. Now, you have two other drug candidates in clinical development, GTX-102. You're developing that to treat symptoms of ataxia telangiectasia, neurodegenerative disease that primarily impacts children, and there's no treatment for that. And also, GTX-101, a treatment being developed for postherpetic neuralgia. Can you give our listeners an update on the status of these two programs, GTX-102 and 101? And do you have any key milestones coming up in 2022?
Yeah, we actually do. We've got quite a few milestones actually coming up with both of those programs. And I have to compliment you. Very few people are able to pronounce ataxia telangiectasia without some practice. So, but I'll call it AT for short. And you're right, this is a really unfortunate genetic disease. It runs in families, not only does it cause impaired coordination, and by the way, it's typically diagnosed in kids that are, you know, between the ages of 1 and 3 years old. But it's poor impaired coordination, but it unfortunately leads to an impairment of the immune system, and these kids often get infections and cancers as well. And you're absolutely right on. There's really no treatment today for this. What we're doing is we're taking a drug called betamethasone, which is a corticosteroid drug. It's been around forever, and it's used in other disease indications, but it's only available as an injectable in the United States. And what we're doing is reformulating it again in a very clever way and proprietary way. We've got patents on this that allow us to deliver it as a spray into the mouth of the child. And this is obviously a lot easier. You know, take a chronic drug, you know, with an oral spray versus having to get an injection every day. And it's not even, you know, I should say the injectable betamethasone is not even approved, you know, for this indication. But, you know, really importantly, what we've done is we've concentrated this spray in a way that we can get the same results as the injectable at 1/70th of the dose. So at a fraction of the dose, we can get as good or better blood levels.
And that's amazing.
So therefore, we believe that we're going to be able to see, you know, a nice reduction of symptoms of ataxia, you know, and not the risk of side effects that you see today with chronic use of a corticosteroid. So
right.
we think this is going to be a much better approach. And as to your question about milestones, we're about to start a pharmacokinetic study that will allow us to compare blood levels of our oral spray to the injectable, and then those results are expected later this year. And if those results look good, then what we're going to be able to do is start immediately our phase 3 program early next year.
Awesome.
So again, it's a kind of a rapid, you know, we've got orphan drug designation for all these products, which grants us a ability to fast track these products through development. And the FDA is very, very responsive. You know, they really are supportive. They want companies to work in this orphan drug space and to, you know, help to come up with, you know, potential, you know, drugs that can potentially benefit these folks that have rare diseases.
I know you just reported your end results last week. Could you reiterate for our listeners what was in the report? More specifically, how much cash you have, and maybe tell us what milestones will this cash fund?
Yeah, great question. So we reported that we had $44 million in cash as of the end of March. And that cash should last us through next year. It's so through 2023. So it's enough capital for us to finish our GTX-104 program for subarachnoid hemorrhage that I spoke about previously. It also will allow us to really expedite GTX-102. We should be able to start our phase three program next year with that cash and significantly advance that program. It's also going to allow us, we didn't talk about GTX-101, but it's going to allow us to finish a couple phase one studies and get us into phase two next year for that program. And, you know, that is a topical spray form of the bupivacaine, which is a analgesic that's been around forever. But again, we've reformulated it and we're repurposing it for PHN. This is postherpetic neuralgia, and it's a really serious, and severe pain condition caused by shingles, and it persists well after the shingles infection goes away. So
right.
this is something where there's a tremendous unmet need today. Many of these patients go on and require opioids in order to get rid of their pain. And our solution is a non-opioid topical spray that we think will have immediate onset of action and provide 24/7 pain relief. But we're very early in that program. Again, we've got to start our phase one here in the next month or two, and again, have several key milestones coming up for that program before the end of the year.
Now, Jan, real quick, for your stockholders and our listeners, what is it you'd like for them to take away from today's show?
Well, I think, you know, we touched on it here, Sever. I think, you know, we've got three really important programs that already have orphan drug status from the FDA. This means we have, you know, a really fast-track approach to getting drug development. I think it's a lower-risk program because I didn't mention this earlier, but we're able to file our regulatory package under the 505B2 pathway which means that we don't have to do a lot of the extra studies that companies normally have to do. So the programs are faster, lower risk, lower cost. And we've got major milestones coming up here in the next year. So, and these should be, you know, very important value-enhancing milestones. And I think, again, we've got plenty of cash to get us through some very significant milestones through next year. So I would say those are really the key points. And, you know, we're really thrilled to be working in this space.
Ms. Jan Dalvez, she is the president, CEO of Acasti Pharma, Inc. They trade on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol ACST and on the Toronto Venture Stock Exchange under the ticker symbol ACST. Jan, it was great having you on the show. Hope to hear awesome updates from you guys again, maybe in 45 to 55 days.
Wonderful. I'd love to come back, Sever. Thanks for taking the time today.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.